The Prog Mill on Progzilla Radio, and I'm very, very happy to be joined by the wonderful Chrissy Mostyn and Rick Pilkington from the Black Heart Orchestra. Hello, guys.
Hello. How are you?
Thank you.
I'm very, very well, thank you. But I bet you're a little bit tired, because as I'm speaking to you, it's going to be a few days ahead of when this interview actually goes out on Progzilla Radio. But I believe you've only just arrived back from doing two gigs up in Scotland.
Yeah. I think we got to bed about 7 o'clock this morning. So if we don't make sense, well, I mean, we very rarely make sense, but if we make less sense than usual, that's why.
Two great gigs. We were starting the tour. We've got 18 dates on this one. And we started off in Montrose, which is a place I've never been before, just north of Dundee.
Yeah, and right then, up on the coast, isn't it? Lovely place, actually.
Yes. It's great. The trouble is, you don't see much of these places, except you see a loading bay, and you see a stage, and you see a dressing room if you're lucky, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. I believe you played Edinburgh the night after, last night.
That's last night, yeah.
Yeah, that was lovely. That's one of our favourite venues. It's a bit more of a metal venue, but it's a really good atmosphere. We played there about four times now.
Yeah.
And the first time we played there, we were like, they're going to hate us.
Yeah.
It's the whole sticky floor, very dark, you know, kind of very black venue. And, you know, we're probably more used to, you know, nice comfy seats in a theatre. But actually, we're beginning to like these stand-up venues very, very much indeed, because the audiences seem to get into it a bit more.
Yeah.
And like last night was terrific, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess people aren't quite as relaxed. They're upright, they're moving around a little bit. Not that we're kind of maybe music to dance to, but it felt like a really good atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is lovely to be able to get up close to see, especially with you two being such a, if you like, an intimate act, if you know what I mean there. It's so nice to be able to get up close and to see you in that way, rather than be sitting back in a traditional theatre environment.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it is. We're really getting into this slightly more rock and roll way of doing things. I don't know. It's good.
I think the last time I saw you, I've seen you live probably about four times, I think, now, but I think the last time I saw you was at the Credit and Arts Centre in Devon, which was maybe last year or the year before, I think. And that was a tiny venue, but a wonderful little atmosphere. I think it held about, 50 or 70 people, something like that. But again, it felt very close to you, and you could see everything you were doing. You could see the glint in your eyes, and it was a really nice atmosphere, I thought.
It's a great little venue, isn't it?
Isn't it?
It's so deceptive. You walk in and you think it's going to be like a little, I don't know, village hall, but then it's got this beautiful seating, and you're right, it's got this real close connection, doesn't it?
Well, the whole reason we're speaking to you today is because your new single Bloodlines is about to come out on the 20th of this month, I think, isn't it?
That's right.
It is.
And it is a wonderful song. We're going to be listening to that in a second. And also coincided with that, your new tour as well, which, as we've already mentioned, has already started with two dates in Scotland. I think you've got a few days rest now, haven't you? And then you've got a gig on Friday the 13th.
That's correct. That's in a place called Barnoldswick in Lancashire, the Music and Arts Centre there. Yeah. So that's a really unusual gig, fantastic little place on this tour. I mean, we're really looking forward to it. Some really interesting little places, but it's going to be a real interesting kind of combination of small and large, and, you know,
quirky.
Yeah, and I think with this sort of act, I think quirky goes very well with it as well, doesn't it? Yeah.
Thank you.
Firstly, to the single though, I just love this. It is absolutely superb. All of your music, of course, is, but this new single, it's you've almost taken it to a different level here. I love the way it builds. I think it's a track that's going to slip very easily into your already very impressive portfolio. So when you're recording the single, is it just you two, or do you have any other musicians contributing during the recording sessions?
So it's us two, but we work with a really great engineer who we've worked with on everything, and we all kind of like throw around ideas and shoot down each other. And
I mean, the songs are all obviously Chrissy and myself. And oops.
Sorry. wait for him to settle down.
Okay. But anyway, the method of production is triangular, as Chrissy says.
Yeah.
That we've great pal called Glenn Phillips, who we've worked with on every album we've ever done right from the very beginning. And he, in the studio, is a kind of an essential kind of pivotal genius in between Chrissy and me that helps obviously glue it all together from a production point of view and from an engineering point of view, from a sonic point of view, and sometimes, you know, musical contributions as well. So but fundamentally it's the two of us. It's the two of us doing everything. 20 little fingers.
Yeah, yeah. The production quality is always superb. You can really feel it. You can, you know, you can listen to it on headphones and it sounds absolutely fantastic, which you can't say for every band and every artist, but you certainly can with yours.
Oh, that's
a huge compliment. We really appreciate that. But we're kind of a bit obsessive, I think. Maybe a bit too much, maybe a little bit too deep into it sometimes.
No, I think it's so important, isn't it? Because this is something, live you can kind of get away with making the odd error, but, you know, recorded you want to be able to listen to it back and be comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. Oh, you want to finish an album and you've got to have that feeling that there is nothing I could have improved on this album whatsoever. You've got to have that fantastic feeling. And when you get that feeling, then there's a kind of a beautiful kind of relaxed kind of feeling of comfort, really, that you've done your best. And I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bloodlines is the first new music that you've released, if I got this right, since Hotel Utopia, which was now 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago next month.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that, because it still seems so recent to me, and it's one that I still listen to on a regular basis, as I'm sure a lot of people do. It's a wonderful, wonderful album. So is Bloodlines a standalone single, or is this going to be part of the next album?
Well, we're in the process. It's definitely going to be part of the next album, and we're in the process of recording the next album now, so I don't see the next album coming before next autumn, but the probably be singles coming along the way as like a, you know, an introduction to it. So Bloodlines is definitely the first of, I guess.
Yeah. Fantastic. So your music, I was having a look on the website and it's described as multi-layered, part rock, part classical, part pop. Influences, obviously, Kate Bush. You can see that in your singing there, Chrissy. Also bands like Portishead and also modern American composers such as Steve Reich and Philip Glass, that sort of thing. A lot of different influences going on there, isn't there?
Yeah, we have a lot of different influences between us. I don't think we probably share that much in common around, although we go to a lot of gigs together.
We
will have feelings about those gigs and a wide range of tastes between us, don't we?
Well, we do. I think if you put our record collections side by side, there wouldn't be one album that we both have.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Doubt it, you know.
Joni Mitchell?
Yeah, we would have a couple of Joni Mitchell albums. That's a good point. But, you know, there's quite a difference between us in where we both come from musically. You know, in a way, different generations of music, to be honest. But I think that's an essential part of how we mesh together, really, musically. You know, I come from an older kind of generation of rock music, prog rock music, and, you know, the bands that I saw when I was growing up, you probably don't know much about them, maybe. And,
well, we just you
grew up in a different kind of place and time and generation.
Yeah, but I guess it all kind of comes together when we don't pigeonhole ourselves at all, because it would fit. We like being able to, you know, write whatever we want, produce whatever we want. And I think it's nice to have that freedom.
Yeah,
I think it is. And I think almost freedom from influence, because I don't think we kind of have any. I hope this doesn't sound arrogant, but I don't think we have any influences in that, you know, we want to kind of, we'd love to be like or sound like or write like or play like that person, that voice, that guitar player or whatever. I don't think that comes into it. It's a fresh start in our. But I don't think it's influenced by anything in our past. Well, everything stimulates your creativity, doesn't it? Every experience that you have in life stimulates something inside of you. And it's all sort of stored in a kind of great big sponge in your head. I think, you know.
What your brain is?
I know the feeling, Rick. Don't worry, it's okay.
Writing of music is kind of squeezing that sponge. And what drips out of it is the songs and the albums.
And it's not just your brain, is it? It's your whole body, your whole experience, everything that makes you feel something, every person that you meet, every place that you go, everything that kind of comes in. But I guess, you know, that's how everybody gets to be unique, isn't it? Because we all them through our own lens, and then we all project them back out into the world as this unique view of our internal worlds put out.
And yeah, I guess, absolutely. I would suggest we take a listen to Bloodlines right now, and we'll record, and we'll come back in just a couple of minutes' time. Is that okay? Should we take a listen to it?
Absolutely. Carry on.
Fantastic. Here we go. Brand new from the Black Art Orchestra. This is Bloodlines.
Hello. How does it feel to be a lifeline? And all the faces in the crowd and the voices drown you out. How does it feel to be heard? Lover, how does it feel to be discovered, leg entangled in the sheets? For a moment we are free. How does it feel to be us? But there is sadness in your eyes. I see December smile. You said it's on your mother's side. And there is sadness in your bloodlines. Fear, how does it feel to disappear? To slip away between the sheets. You're tired of playing hide and seek. How does it feel to be gone? Sadness in your eyes. I see December in your smile. You said it's on your mother's side.
So there you go. Wasn't that absolutely wonderful? Brand new from the Black Heart Orchestra. That was the new single, Bloodlines. I believe, Chrissy and Rick, that is being officially released on the 20th of September. That's right, isn't it?
It is. It is. So not long now.
You could pre-save it right now if you really want to, you know, have it in your bag waiting for you.
It is wonderful. And they'll be able to get it on Bandcamp, I presume, and through your website as well?
Yeah. It will be on Bandcamp as well. It's already up for pre-save, pre-ad on all the digital platforms. But yeah, come and buy it from us as well, which is always good.
Yeah, that's even better, isn't it? So you get the full whack of that. That's fantastic. Because I know it's so difficult for, especially in the world of prog, to make any money out of it whatsoever. So anything that you can make is always a big bonus.
I think actually in the prog world, because people are so supportive of music, because they do buy the physical merch, which is always for vinyl collections, and actually having the t-shirts and things is, you know, part of the whole thing, isn't it? So that's so.
It is a part of, it's also a part of being, you know, being part of the family of prog music. I think there is, it really is a true family, isn't it? And
it is.
You know, the merch and wearing the uniform of the music that you love, I think, is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, we've always done that from the days of, you know, God knows when I was started going to gigs, you know, but in a way that the music world has become, I don't know whether it's become smaller or larger. Sometimes it feels quite small and quite kind of beautiful that you know, the family of prog is you almost know all the people who you see at gigs. You know, you almost know them as friends and names. I think it's a fabulous community that we're in.
It is, isn't it? It is like a family. I mean, we're just ahead of Summer's End in a couple of weeks' time. And every time you go there, and I'm sure you found the same, as you just mentioned, you see the same faces, the same people, which in one way is great, but I'm sure you would like a lot of new people to come and see the music as well. But hopefully the world of prog is growing all the time, and based on the amount of music we get coming into Progzilla, there's so many new bands, and a lot of them younger bands as well, which has to be good for the whole genre, I think, doesn't it, really?
Absolutely, yeah.
How do you feel about being labeled progressive rock? Some bands have said it's not particularly an advantage. People who are not in the know, and if you know, you know, but people who aren't seem to get the wrong impression. They're thinking, oh, long, self-indulgent, twiddly bits, you know, all this. But, I mean, none of that would apply to your music, as it wouldn't to so many of the different bands that we play on this radio station. Do you think being labelled as prog is an advantage or maybe a disadvantage?
I think people tend to put other words with us, so they'll say, like, proggy pop or proggy folk or just like ethereal rock and things. So I think what you just said there, progressive in its true sense, is such a broad umbrella, isn't it? Like you said, if they don't know, they think you're just going to sound like yes,
exactly. Yeah, you're right. And to be honest, if it's good music, it's good music. People can pigeonhole it in whatever way they want, but it doesn't matter what you call it, it's just good music, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But I mean, if you listen to some of the bands that have that label of, you know, prog, if we're going, you know, just with that, you know, there's so many great, great bands, aren't there?
Yeah.
You know, and people like Public Service Broadcasting and, you know, Stephen Wilson, who have so many, they're just creative arts, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, you're spot on there.
It's like pizza, really. You can put whatever toppings you want on it, you know, and maybe prog is on our pizza is just one of the olives on our pizza.
Yeah,
you know, it's just salami. But you know, there's all sorts of
salami.
Other little. Oh, I know she's vegan. So sorry. Oh dear. But you know, there's all sorts of different flavors that go into what we do. Prog is certainly one of them, because I grew up with all those great bands. I was just listening to, well, listening to Steve Hackett just the other day, and I thought, wow, so good. I'd forgotten how great it was. I grew up watching Genesis with Steve Hackett and Pete Gabriel. You know, I was looking there in those early days, and I thought, I can't believe how great this stuff is. I've just completely forgotten how wonderful it was and how much it turned me on when I was about 14 years old. That's just one flavour on our kind of really big 24-inch pizza that is our...
You're making me hungry now, Rick.
I guess that's true for a lot of, like, modern prog bands, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, lots and lots of different influences, like a little bit of electronica and classical.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I think it's just a really world to be in. I think everybody who says they're a prog fan tends to be, you know, quite open-minded and into music, like into it, like it's part of their life, not just part of the, you know, oh well, I'll listen to absolutely.
I think I was reading, I don't know if it's on your own website or somewhere else, but you're officially the world's smallest orchestra, and yet despite that, you play 13 instruments between the two of you. Is that right?
Well, we're just eBay addicts and buy and crap.
Yeah. I mean, we're not virtuosos on anything, really. And I think that's a good thing, too. We love acquiring new instruments. We love trying to write songs on instruments that we can't really play, because there's some kind of focus on something that you're not really a, you know, a good player at. It kind of, I don't know what it is, but we love sort of buying something in a junk shop or eBay and then getting it home and think, okay, what does that button do and how do you play this thing? Yeah. And then what does it make? And then that inspires new music.
Yeah.
The orchestra concept was something that we came up with about, I don't know, about well, 6 years ago.
But it just started naturally happening by itself. You know, I would buy, I think the first thing that I bought was like a $20 rescue keyboard. In Australia, and that's a really big, you know, part of our sound now. We kind of just branched out from there. I think we're just kids who want to play all day.
Yeah, really, I guess the orchestra is the instrument and we're just the conductors, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And, you know, I think a lot of the people, especially at some of the festivals you've appeared at, people who haven't previously been familiar with your music, have seen two people come onto the stage with a keyboard and a guitar and one or two other bits and pieces. And then as soon as you start playing, it is a big sound. It's a massive sound. Between the two of you, you do produce an incredible sound. You know, all credit to both of you for that. That can't be easy to do.
I don't know. I don't even think we think that much about what we're doing. Thank you for saying that. I think we just have a lot of fun with what we have on stage.
I was going to say, there's a part of your set where both of you play the same keyboard at the same time, where you sort of cross over, isn't there? I think you've done that most of the times I've seen you. Any funny moments there? Do you ever get in each other's way and it all goes pear-shaped?
Sometimes he'll, like, stand on my dress or like my hair will get tangled up with some wearing and we're kind of sat there trying to be like, I'm like trying to nudge him off my dress so that I can move.
Oh, brilliant. So if I see you give him a big elbow, we know what's going on in the background there. Yeah. you've had so much praise for your music. I mean, fans include Steve Hackett, who you've already mentioned there, Rick.
Yeah.
Phil Campbell from Motorhead, he's complimented your music as well.
Yeah,
and you've both won regular awards on both sides of the Atlantic as well. This must really help in inspiring you to go on and produce even more music.
Yeah, it's really good fuel for our tank, isn't it?
It is.
I think even if people said you're absolutely crap and you're awful, I think we'd still keep it anyway because we love it. But it's nicer for our souls that people... Well, you know, some people really enjoy what we do.
It is. I mean, Hotel is a very successful album for us in every way, both financially as well as being, you know, helping us move forward in the world, I guess.
Yeah.
So in a way, that creates a really terrifying precedent, doesn't it? And I get absolutely petrified at making new albums. I really hate going into the studio for the first day, for the first song. What are we going to be like? Is it going to be as good as the last album? And in this case, you know, it was a real fear. But we're four songs into the new album now. We're really, really looking forward to, you know, carrying on with this thing. I think it's one of those feelings where, you know, it couldn't be better. We couldn't have done that song better.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fantastic. So just to wrap up, then, new single Bloodlines out on the 20th of September. It's going to be available through the Black Holes Orchestra website and on Bandcamp as well. The UK tour is currently underway. You've already played two gigs in Scotland. And by the time this show goes out, which is Sunday the 15th for the first broadcast on Proxilla Radio, you'll have done another three gigs as well, all in the north of England.
That's right.
And then more to come as well. You've got London, you've got Oundle, Winchester, Sheffield, Leicester, Manchester, Birmingham, Great Yarmouth, Oswestry, Middlesbrough, Cardiff, Reading. It's a long tour, isn't it? And then I notice you've thrown in a snifty little gig, which I shall see you at next March at the Wharf in Tavistock as well. And I shall look forward to seeing you there.
Look, we've got 25 dates next spring on the next spring tour.
Wow.
We like to work. We like to play.
We like touring.
Do you have to fit in sort of day jobs with this as well, or do you have the luxury of being able to concentrate on your music as professional musicians?
Well, I've been doing this full-time now since about 2007.
Have you? Yeah.
No, we're very, very lucky. I mean, it's a frugal life, let's be honest.
It is.
But we're not driving shiny cars and all the rest of it. But you know, we are having the most fun you could have with your life ever. And if that's what you're into, that's certainly what we're into.
Yeah.
You know, perfect life. So we're such lucky people.
Well, you're doing what you love, and of course the listeners love what you're doing as well, which is, you know, win-win situation. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Chrissy and Rick, thank you so much. I'm going to play another track. We've already played Bloodlines. If it's okay with you, I'm going to play my favorite track from Hotel Utopia, which is The Flood. I absolutely love that track.
It's my favourite too, so carry on, yeah.
Thank you very much. Chrissy and Rick, thank you so much. Thank you for bringing on Progzilla Radio. And we'll finish off with The Flood. Thank you, and good luck with the rest of the tour.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, thank you.
I heard the news about a flood. The big kind to cover us all up. So I stayed all day by the window, waiting for the rain to come. I saw a man about a fear. He said he just lay your body here. So I laid all day on his sofa, but none of it would disappear. So I waited in the rain for the flood. Shotgun.